It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this, the 20th day of February 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb, too. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all times in between, and the great globe round. And wherein, if you should happen to wander in just at it precisely this very moment, you will be greeted by the early arrivers. That would be Anatole and Daryl in Houston. Hey, Daryl, welcome to the room. Irish Dave, Squeaky, Theo, all right there. And capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. Sparky of the well. After a month, the trucks are gone, Sparky says. Yay, hooray, congratulations, Sparky. And cheers with crystal clear, ice-cold water of perhaps 1,000 years ago, because wells are funny that way. Aquifers are funny that way. Glad to hear it, Sparky. Really glad to hear it. Hi, I'm Robin. And by the way, thanks so much for spending your time with our little community here. Thank you so very kindly indeed. Remember, please, when you listen to the podcast, whether it's on Spotify or Podcast Republic or TuneIn or Stitcher or Apple Podcasts, wherever you do, please like and subscribe and leave a comment for the algorithm to read, because, you know, it just sits there spinning its little mind. It helps. It helps. And we want to build this community. I think it's fantastic that folks are liking and subscribing. I never thought about it. I'm so antediluvian. But, no, please, like, subscribe, leave a comment. And, you know, above all, tell your friends and neighbors. And, by the way, I'm on the air, aren't I? Yes, I am. I could have stayed much longer in Charleston today, but I wanted to make sure that I was on the air and was able to get a program out this evening. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, you know. And this program is no different. And so we say thank you to our 20th, 19th, and 18th day of the month subscribers. That means thank you so very kindly to Armand. And to Ralphs, thank you. Thanks as well to our pal Reverbo, the human man, still waiting on delivery of his helium-filled pants now that we're in the third decade of the 21st century. Thank you, Dr. John in New Mexico. Thank you, Vincent. Thanks so much to Clayton. Thank you to Darlene in Connecticut. And thank you to Success Spirit Synergy. Thank you, Debbie, in New Jersey.
Keep up the good programming. Thank you so much, Debbie. Thank you to Grace. Thank you to our dear friend in the South Pacific, far across the Pacific. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to Joy in Ann Arbor. Thank you all so very kindly. So, here's the deal. The fundraising goal is somewhere up north of $1,400. I forgot to send the actual number to Brother Deacon Asa last Friday. But it's somewhere north of $1,400. We actually got some of, and what that means is that's Friday. It's basically today, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, and part of Tuesday. Here's what that means. We have only a couple of days to knock that down. Or, and this is not a joke, the electricity which runs this program will go away. It will go away. Because I gotta pay a ridiculous coal-fried electricity bill. So, whatever we can do, everything that comes in and has been coming in is going toward that power bill. It's hateful. It's brutal. You know, it is what it is. Oh, and thank you. Thank you to Michael. Thank you to Michael very kindly for jumping in and getting us started for the evening. And thank you to George and Korsgold for stepping in. So let's say we are at $1,400 now. Because basically we raised a show's worth on Friday. And Friday we were at $1,455, and it just happens that we've just knocked down $55. Thank you. Thank you, George, and thank you, Michael. And thank you, Debbie, over the weekend. Thank you so much. Condolences going out to two different places. Our sincerest and most heartfelt condolences going out to our pal, Randy Radar, who lost his dad, or I'm sorry, his mom. His mom over the weekend. Randy said, "We should all be so lucky. Mom was approaching 90. Yeah, but it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. And that's a fact. And then out in Iowa, condolences go to our pal, Zed, who sponsors a doubling challenge every month. For new subscribers, Zed's dad passed away a little bit ago, and he was just telling me about it, and it's hard. It is so hard. And so, again, the dearest sympathies of the entire Horn family congregation, community, go to you both. All of our hearts to Zed and to Randy. So I did what I said I was going to do today. I got up at 5. At this particular moment in time, I'm broadcasting with toothpicks propping my eyelids open because I'm not used to getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. But I got up at 5 and. By the way, yay for a $15 sale rack dress. I wore it today. And got up, got ready. Takes a lot longer now. And drove to Charleston. And the first official Fairness for All West Virginians Day was, I think, a rousing success. It was, in fact, inspiring. I'll post some pictures on social media later. but there were well over 100 people. The rotunda of the West Virginia State Capitol on the ground floor was packed. And there were some inspiring speeches made. But probably the most inspiring part of it was the fact that a lot of them were teenagers. A lot of them were high school kids. Young people who get it, who got it, who understood that what these geezers in Charleston are doing is about them and about trying to disappear them. Again, I wish to reiterate that what we see in the current spasm of attacks on anyone who is not white, cisgender, and heterosexual and Christian in places like West Virginia and Texas and Oklahoma and Idaho is the vanguard of fascism marching across our country. And I've got a story that goes with it, and it also dovetails ever so nicely into Moran Monday, which this is. Because all of these issues are the same thing. The attack on women's rights that we saw in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health was an attack on human rights. The attack we see on gay guys and lesbians is an attack on human rights. The attack we see on bisexual people is an attack on human rights. The attack on trans people is an attack on human rights. And I find all of that, sometimes the program just, well, it builds itself, really. I had a note to begin the program from our dear friend Cynthia in the Bay Area. She wrote, President Jimmy Carter and his faith. The news has been reporting that President Carter has entered hospice care at home and isn't long for this world. It will be a true sadness when he passes, but I do celebrate his life. He was a truly good man. Anyway, the local news here did a report last night on President Carter about his faith, as well as the work he did in the Bay Area some years ago, building low-income housing for Habitat for Humanity. Can you imagine Trump doing that? Oh, Cynthia. Not. But Jimmy Carter would probably say his faith drove him to do that. Or in the language of the Baptist Church, called him to that. It was a burden on his heart to do that. And so it did occur to me that, like so many things, faith is something that can be used for good or for bad. Jimmy Carter used his faith to do good in the world, to try to make things better. Evangelicals, on the other hand, use their faith for bad, for hate and destruction. I guess to bring about the end of the world so they can go to heaven or something. If there was a God, of course, the joke would be on them and God would send them to burn in hell. Yes. And Jesus would pinch their little heads off and toss them down into hell for the little imps and demons to use for soccer balls. I added that part, Cynthia. Sorry, I didn't mean to walk on your email. So what I would suggest as an atheist is that what is really needed is not faith, but empathy. Jimmy Carter was full of empathy, and whether he realized it or not is probably what really drove him. Regardless, the world will be a poorer place without him. He was a true follower of Jesus and understood the message, and I might add, faith is not required for that. Thank you, Jimmy Carter. Thank you. I have long said that. And, you know, it's so telling that the white wing in this country so vituperatively, vociferously railed against Jimmy Carter. God, they hated him with the heat of a thousand suns. And it always felt like a bit of a tell to me. Methinks they doth protest too much. You know? And so, I wondered at it. I mean, God, all the years that I was running up and down the road, going hither and thither and yon on various and sundry jobs and meetings and whatnot, you know, through the 90s into the early aughts. And of course, by then, long since, by then, radio was over the air, FCC censored radio was already a vast broadcast wasteland. And I often found myself on the road somewhere between the hours of noon and three, and it did not matter where you turned the dial. There he was. America's truth detector, my friends, Rush Limbaugh. With half my brain tied behind my back and talent on loan from God for the people in Rio Linda. Oh, I mean, another handful of those pills. Oh, I like to chew them up for the refreshing burst of flavor. Call me back when you get the bone out of your nose. But one of his favorite topics to rail upon was the disastrous policies of Jimmy Carter, who almost destroyed this country had Ronald Reagan not saved us from him. His entire take on Jimmy Carter was nothing but poisonous mendacity. There wasn't a shred of truth in it. I think, looking back, part of the reason that the Republicans had to try to damnatio memoriae Jimmy Carter was because they knew, see, we kind of think stealing the presidency is a new thing. Don't tell the youngins, it's been going on for a while. Because the Republicans knew better than anybody else how much skullduggery had gone into the Reagan campaign's effort to defeat Jimmy Carter. And God, all that dirty business worked. Oh, it probably worked beyond their wildest imaginings. And they were working from a playbook. You know, this isn't paranoid conspiracy theory. This isn't Alex Jones. This is reality. Working from a playbook created by Richard M. Nixon. I am not a crook. Everyone around me is. Richard M. Nixon sabotaged peace negotiations between the United States and North Vietnam in the late middle 60s. And LBJ knew it. He had hard evidence. But he said he couldn't do anything about it. And I guess he had his reasons. But imagine how much different this country might have been had he done so. Because that's the interesting thing about the long sweep of history. We can look at the not quite 8 years of the Nixon administration and say, what good did he do? About the only thing I can find is that he created the Environmental Protection Agency, which was a matter of his signature on bills produced by the Congress, but he gets the credit. But he dummied up the 1968 presidential election, and that's how he beat Hubert Humphrey. Then, of course, we know about all the wicked criminality that went into CREEP, the campaign to re-elect the president in 1972, and wound up with almost his entire... Did any member of his administration come away unscathed? Don't think so. But that was the playbook that Ronald Reagan had before him in 1980. And I know some members of this community are younger than I, some are older. But I watched that election in 1980 with the fascination of the newly politically awake. I wasn't legal to vote yet. I would not turn 18 until 1981. But Reagan dummied up the election for nothing more than the acquisition of raw political power. And even in 1980, Reagan was already being driven by people other than Ronald Wilson Reagan, old 666 that he was. Because the country was beginning to turn around. Jimmy Carter, having been handed runaway inflation that began under Nixon and just continued to roll under Gerald Ford, I will never forget that stupid win button, the red field with white letters across it, all caps, WIN. Win. Whip.
My fellow Americans, it stands for Whip Inflation Now, and I would like for every American to wear one of these buttons so we can beat inflation. And Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter, that good man, was sandwiched between the right-wing incompetence of Gerald Ford and the already preceding senility and venality of an old B-movie actor who routinely got upstaged by a chimpanzee. And so over the years, I have said that history will treat Jimmy Carter far, 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 far more kindly than it will deal with either Nixon or Ford, or Reagan, and let's not forget Pappy Bush, who was kind of the bag man on all of the skullduggery that went down in 1980. History will be much kinder to Jimmy Carter. Because the entire theme of his presidency, and apparently the theme of his life. Yeah, because he ran around following Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of their life. Was peace and human rights. It was what motivated him. It's what Miss Lillian taught him from the cradle up. And he's one of those people for whom it stuck. And his insistence on those principles cost him his presidency. If it is true, as the theoretical physicists say, that there are infinite alternate universes. Maybe there's an alternate universe where Jimmy Carter defeats Ronald Reagan in 1980. Where the solar panels don't get pulled off of the White House roof almost on the very day of Reagan's inauguration. An America where Reagan just fades into the sunset and makes occasional appearances on the early manifestations of cable news, He was an old, hey, he was an old TV guy, Death Valley Days, brought to you by 20 Mule Team Borax. Maybe he would have been an early host of CNN's Crossfire. Maybe a few years later, a young journalist would say,
"Tonight, in the Crossfire."
And whoever the guest was, and opposing each other in the Crossfire,
former presidential candidate Ronald Wilson Reagan. He'll be doing battle with...
Oh, who was the early liberal on Crossfire? I've forgotten now. But Carter will be a bright spot. Surrounded by a great deal of darkness and the regression of the American soul. The ramping up of the re-radicalization of the butthurt white wing at Neshoba County, Mississippi's fairgrounds. And the battle cry of
states' rights, states' rights. That's what we're talking about, states' rights. Ketchup is a vegetable.
Maybe. And that's what makes, you know, that's what makes time travel sci-fi shows so much fun. You know, that's the difference between Back to the Future 1 and Back to the Future 2. Doc! I hope his passing. Tom Braden. Thank you, Scott in San Diego. Thank you, Tom Braden.
In the Crossfire, Ronald Reagan, former presidential candidate, squaring off against Tom Braden.
You know, he still could have used some of the same shitty old lines.
Well, there you go again.
Yeah, did he use the, well, you there you go again. Okay, yeah. I guess that's going to be his signature line. Okay. And break in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go tape! Yeah. But thank you. Thank you for that valedictory, Cynthia. It was thought-provoking. I do love that line. They use their faith for bad, for hate and destruction, I guess to bring about the end of the world so they can go to heaven or something. It's the or something that makes it art, Cynthia. There, perfect, Steve, cowbell. Carter's second term. Visualize no Jerry Falwell. I don't think Jerry Falwell would have had much luck in a Carter second term. And the beginning of the weaponization of evangelical Christianity. Nope. The faith coordinator of the American Civil Liberties Union was in attendance today in Charleston in the Rotunda. And she had some trenchant things to say. She said, if religious people try to make you hurt over who you are, that is not faith. That is bigotry. If religious people tell you that who you are is essentially wrong, that is bigotry, not faith. She did a great job. I got a picture of her. Like I said, I'll put that all up on social media. But all these things have a way of coalescing so that we see a larger picture. And we do not have to be where we are right now. We did not have to be where we are right now, but we were let down. You know, I'm either an ass end of the boomers or the front end of Generation X. I prefer front end of Generation X myself. I play video games. Boomers don't play video games. Boomers designed video games, but they didn't play them. Anyway, we were betrayed. The people who put Ronald Reagan in office betrayed America. The people who kept a good and decent man like Jimmy Carter from having a second term betrayed America. One of the things that really, really sold Ronald Reagan was the idea that he was going to be
tough on the Ruskies. That's what I'll be tough on the Ruskies.
Sure, Ronnie. And of course, he took credit for the fall of the Soviet Union, even though the CIA had been advising American presidents since at least the late 60s, possibly early 70s, that the Soviet Union couldn't last and that its demise was relatively imminent. Their people were immiserated. They couldn't feed themselves. They relied on, how about that? Once upon a time, kids, the United States used to grow a whole bunch of grain to the point that we had more than we could use. And so we sent it abroad. We sent it to hungry people in burlap bags that said a gift from the people of the United States of America. You know, President Biden made a surprise trip to Kyiv today. It was apparently a humongous morale booster for the Ukrainians. And it took some courage to do. Man, that was a hell of an optic, wasn't it? The President of the United States striding fearlessly into Kyiv, while air raid sirens blared overhead. I mean, sorry. Let's see Nitwit Nero do that. Huh?
Where are the sirens coming from? I don't like sirens. Sirens are never good. Have you ever heard a good siren? I've never heard a good siren. Why are there sirens?
And this being More In Monday, naturally, there were more in conniptions to be had. Oh, and thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs has put forward the Kitty Meme Challenge of $50. Here's the meme. photo on one side of a ferocious panther resting on the bough of a tree, looking fearlessly at the camera. What I think I look like. Meanwhile, a little black kitten up in the tree, clinging to a branch, eyes wide open. What I actually look like. Oh, that's adorable, Ralphs. Thank you. Thank you. So the first $50 that comes in gets doubled, and that gets us down to $1,300. In our desperate rush to raise enough money, basically it's $1,000 to keep the power on here because, well, we heat with space heaters. I know. Bad environmental activist. Bad. Bad. But it's kind of that or freeze. Because the alternatives are just and you know, that's how the fossil fuel industry continues. The alternatives are economically non-viable. So we do what we do to keep precious little youngins warm. And my granddaughter, you know, she's 8 months old now, Junie. She blew right past bottles. She's into sippy cups now. And sippy cups have a handle on both sides. She is a delight to behold. She'll get that sippy cup up there and hold it up with both hands. It's like, glug, 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 glug. Oh, she's such a joy. And had an absolutely magic Saturday. It was actually my daughter-in-law who found the $15 dress that I wore today. And it was a perfect ensemble. So, hooray for her. But you get the sense that there's going to be a lot of morons to be found today. Hopefully, like I said, someone will step in and meet Ralph's challenge, get us down to $1,300, and we'll keep hoping and praying that we get that stupid power bill paid and the program continues. It's hard. And energy prices are up all over the country. Is that part of the death yawp of the fossil fuel industry? Yeah, Pootie's got something to do with it. And it's complicated. Oh, and some background, courtesy of Scott in San Diego, who is our Nixon criminality correspondent, about why and how LBJ let Nixon know he knew about his trying to thwart LBJ's Vietnam peace efforts in 68. From Politico, when a candidate conspired with a foreign power to win an election, might have been too much headline, but it should probably read, one of the times when a candidate conspired with a foreign power to win an election. Because it would happen again a mere 12 years later. When Reagan, Bush, et al. Conspired with the mullahs in Iran to make sure that Jimmy Carter did not get credit for the release of the hostages. If they can't play dirty, they can't win. And remember, there's also credit for attempts. A big part of the shakedown, the attempted shakedown by Nitwit Nero in Ukraine was designed to try to burnish his image, I guess, among the maggots back here. And it remains the source to this day of Hunter Biden, the Benghazi overtime. Why am I singing? It took decades to unravel Nixon's sabotage of Vietnam peace talks. Now the full story can be told. It's by John A. Farrell, author of Richard Nixon, The Life. It's a read. But, again, when a candidate conspired with a foreign power to win an election, by John A. Farrell, August 6, 2017, it's at Politico. You can find it for later reading. Thank you, Scott. Dave in the Blind says, humanitarian goodwill is the basis for soft power, also known as moral authority. So most of the Nazis, your rank and file conservatives, all believe power must be hard and violent. They've got a hard on for Russia. They got a hard on for hurting the poor. They got a hard on for whatever they perceive someone's sex life is if they disagree with it. Their bigotry and callousness knows no ends. When the humanitarian trials begin, people like Carter and Biden will be exonerated and honored. Meanwhile, the Republicans will be saying, we were only following orders. Yeah, that's Dave and the Blind. So, yeah. There's a lot of morality out there today. And let's just start with the grossest part. I did not mean for that to rhyme, but well, that was fortuitous. Let's begin with Laura Loomer. Remember Laura Loomer? No. Well, just as well. Laura Loomer, Laura Looney, is one of these toxic right-wing hate machines. She is, if you look up Islamophobia in the dictionary, there's probably a picture of Laura Looney, Loomer. And she's been hired here and there, but somehow manages to keep getting sacked because she has almost no even tiniest quantum of common decency. Well, with the announcement of Jimmy Carter going into hospice, and look, y'all, this is just Republicans, okay? This is who they are. She tweeted because she got her Twitter account from Elno Muskrat, you know, Napoleon Bonaparte. I warn you, this is nauseating. This is disgusting. Former President Jimmy Carter has entered hospice care. He's lived a long life. He's lucky. He's got to live long enough to see a Democrat in the White House who was more destructive than he was. He should feel blessed. How dead do you have to be in your soul, or spirit, or animating force, or whatever? Thing we're calling it. No. No, Brendan, this show is brand new. This is the February 20th show. It started right on time and has proceeded apace for low these 43 minutes and 58 seconds. But that was how the American right wing responded to what is the imminent passing of the longest lived former president of the United States of America. Stay classy, Laura Loomer. And then went so far as to say, don't get why people are so upset about what I said. It's a compliment. I said he's no longer the worst Democrat ever to hold office. And of course, when I saw the news of President Carter's decision to enter hospice, A thought passed my mind. I confess it. And that thought was, huh. And yet, Richard B. Big Time Dick Cheney before he dicks you is still out there breathing away with the blood of a million Iraqi civilians on his hands and the heart of some decent human being beating in his chest. And more than that, Kissinger, Henry the K, Hank, still there, still breathing. I guess we're never going to turn him over to maybe Chile or Argentina or any of a number of other countries. Laos and Cambodia come to mind for a war crimes trial. Can we at least promise every country whom he helped to plunge into bloodshed and dictatorship? Can we just draw and quarter Henry Kissinger and give a piece of him to Argentina and a piece of him to Chile and a piece of him to Laos and a piece of him to Cambodia? The fact that son of a bitch won the Nobel Peace Prize for negotiating with the Vietnamese after Nixon had torpedoed LBJ's efforts. Well, I mean, that beats cat's fucking. It does. Still does. Hey, Tom and Sunny San Rafael, thank you, my friend. We are $10 into the Kitameme Challenge, courtesy of Ralph's. And Tom writes, in honor of Jimmy Carter, who got my very first presidential vote. That really is something to be proud of. Walter Mondale got my first one. Dukakis got my second. Clinton my third. Clinton my fourth. Al Gore got my fifth. John Kerry got my sixth. I'm sorry. Barack Obama got my seventh and eighth. Hillary Clinton got my ninth. How about that? Joe Biden was my 10th presidential vote. I think the math works out there. Stand by, please. Kid's been calling all day. Go figure. Wrong number. And you know what? If the country had voted the way I voted, and the way Tom voted, and the way most of us voted, in every presidential election, this would be a far better country. Like I said, had Carter been reelected, the solar panels wouldn't have been pulled off of the White House roof. And we might have gotten further away from the fossil fuel industry. And we might not have climate change breathing down the necks, not so much of you and I, you and me. What am I doing? But of those wonderful kids that I saw in the rotunda of the state capital of the West Virginia today. And kids like them all over the country. Flavio with a note says, I was just going to mention Kissinger still breathing. Wasn't he the inspiration for Dr. Strangelove? He absolutely was. And going back to a story from, because it's got some more in carryover, courtesy of Charlie Pierce over at Esquire Politics. I had the story Friday of the two Morans, the two Moran women in Idaho, who introduced a bill to make it a crime to administer an mRNA vaccine, you know, the COVID vaccine. A crime! And in an insane hothouse like Idaho, it may have a chance. But the funniest thing out of that is that one of those two Lulus actually represents a town where back in the 60s they built a high school. It's called Middleton, Idaho, I think. And that high school had to be built with sprinklers involved. You know, for safety. In case of fire, the sprinklers come on, the fire goes out, or at least that's the way it's supposed to work. I remember the first time I saw the sprinklers, I think it was in Kmart. I'm a little kid. Daddy, what are those? Those are sprinklers. Sprinklers? Yeah, in case the building catches fire, the water comes on, it comes down, the fire... Yeah. Made sense back then. That'd be the 1960s, about the time they were building that high school in Idaho. But, you know, up there in Idaho, they're not... They're a little skittish to the federal government. That federal government's trying to limit our freedoms. I don't trust them. There's a reason people kept going till they got to Idaho. Trying to get away from the big government. So they put the sprinklers in. God almighty. But they never hooked it up to any water. And they dodged a lot of, I guess they dodged bullets for a generation or more. But somewhere around 2007, the high school caught fire and burned to the ground. Because they didn't want big government moving in on them. They didn't want big government there breathing down their freedom-loving necks. Fluoride, Mandrake. Fluoride in the water that's going to go to the sprinklers in our kids' high school. Yeah, it's a thing. So with all these interwoven ideas, we suddenly find ourselves in the present. Where among, you know, and I hate, No, Ralph, they never hooked it up, the sprinklers up to the water. Because that would have been communism. Socialism. We're almost at the one-year anniversary of Mother Russia. Invading Ukraine. Or Ukraine is weak. And I heard a clip of President Biden speaking there, and in his own inimitable way, there is a Seinfeld fan somewhere in the president's speech writing team. because in his remarks in Kyiv, he said Putin thought Ukraine was weak. And of course, in that scene in Seinfeld, when Kramer says that they're playing Risk on the subway, Ukraine is weak. And a Ukrainian comes across and says, Ukraine is not weak, and upends the board. They had to know that would have a, Ukraine is weak. They had to know that would have a certain resonance with probably a halfway decent contingent of the American people. But anyway, he went over there, took a shades of Abraham Lincoln taking office. President Biden did not fly directly into Kyiv on Air Force One. And I got the idea they had to violate some Secret Service safety protocols along the way. Because when President Biden arrived in Kyiv, it was in a white Toyota Land Cruiser. And the minute I saw that, because this was all happening very early, and I just happened to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I saw that white Toyota Land Cruiser, and I was like, where's the beast? You know, that's the nickname they give to the presidential SUV limousine. Instead, it was a white Toyota Land Cruiser, which I thought odd, and then I paid further attention and noted that, well, in 1861, in order to take office, Abraham Lincoln had to sneak into Washington, D.C. And it was a seminal moment in American history as he was guarded by Pinkertons, who would go on to an infamous future as bloody kneecappers and strikebreakers. But in that moment, they were protecting the life of the elected president of the United States, and he had to take a train from Baltimore into D.C. And stayed, I think, at the Willard Hotel until he and Mrs. Lincoln could take up residence in the White House. Well, it was a little like that today. Because President Biden landed in Poland and took a train from Poland to Kyiv. Which is pretty brash for a guy that, you know, the maggots say is too incompetent to tie his own shoelaces. It was, to use an unfortunately gendered idea, pretty fucking ballsy. And he happened to bring with him, you know, $500 million more in aid because the Ukrainians are blowing through ammunition faster than we can and our allies can make it. And, you know, that's a good sign. They want to fight the invaders. I'm pro-peace. I'm so pro-peace. But not when you're the... No. Now, I'm sorry. I have to believe that if the United States had been invaded in 1965, Dr. King probably would have picked up a rifle. And all that St. Peter put up thy sword into his place for those that live by the sword shall die by the sword business would have to take a breather. So I say all of this as the backdrop to what, oh God, American Chief Morin. I think we just have to give her the title now. Marginal Trailer Queen ran off to Twitter, which is apparently unmoderated, and said, "Today on our President's Day, Joe Biden, the President of the United States, chose..." Well, at least you're acknowledging him as the President now, Marge. "Chose Ukraine over America while forcing the American people to pay for Ukraine's government and war. I cannot express how much Americans hate Joe Biden." No, dipshit. You did express how much you hate Joe Biden. And then, of course, this woman, and I will call your attention to the way she dressed on the night of the State of the Union. Said of President Zelensky, "Zelensky can't even wear a tie as he greets the President of the United States. He gladly takes our money in sweatshirts and T-shirts, but Biden is dressed up. So insulting. America last." Oh, and by the way, that's another thing. I was sitting here watching my filthy morning habit while I was getting ready to go. And there was a casual mention of, I forget who exactly, but so-and-so is an America First Republican. And it occurred to me, because my mind was fresh and sharp this morning, I was raring to go. I think it's journalistic malpractice to use that phrase, America First, and not provide context. For instance, let's try it this way. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who calls herself America First, said, blah, 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 "It should be noted that America First is unvarnished, unwashed, untrammeled, absolutely unabashed fascism." At this point in time, the only way we protect ourselves against the fascism that is the America First movement is to call it fascism. And, you know, the folks... Now, Joe and Mika had the day off today. They don't like Mondays either, I guess. But I don't think you can... If you don't want this country to become fascist, you've got to point out what America First means. And you've got to tie it together with American Christian nationalism, which is also fascism, which is also up to its bushy little eyebrows. In right-wing autocracy. It really is. It's journalistic malpractice not to call fascism fascism when fascism is a part of the story you're telling. And they do on that show say fascism now. Probably more in the last 2 years than they've ever said it before. Zelensky can't even wear a tie. I wonder if Marginal Trailer Queen knows that the necktie in men's apparel is, as I was told by a costuming professor way, 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 way back long ago, the last vestige of the Elizabethan codpiece. Because it is. Why do you think Nitwit Nero wears his ties so much, you know, the fashion, once upon a time, like in the 30s, you know, you can see pictures of like Huey Long. And he's wearing a necktie that reaches just down like halfway down his abdomen, and his pants are hauled up halfway to his nipples. I know. Image. Sorry. I guess, well, that's dinner in the Central Standard Time Zone now. But standard decorum now is that a properly tied necktie, the end of it touches the top of the belt buckle. Nitwit Nero wore them a lot longer than that for reasons I would submit to you of latent senses of inadequacy. Remember what Stormy Daniels said? Like a mushroom? Yeah? And, of course, Marginal Trailer Queen was mad at President Biden. He went to Ukraine, a non-NATO nation whose leader is an actor and is apparently now commanding our United States military to world war. We must impeach this America last fool before it's too late. Oh, honey. You need to spend some time with Mr. Clemens. It is better to be silent and be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. It's almost as though she doesn't know anything about history. Or maybe she does know something about history, and she kind of feels like the wrong side won in 1945. This America Last Fool is another way of saying that he is non-fascist. Remember, she stood on stage with a real live, no kidding, self-avowed fascist. Remember Nick Fuentes? The guy that says it's gay to have sex with... It's gay for a guy to have sex with women? I mean... I only report it. I don't make it up. Well, bless her heart. She wasn't done. At Marge. And neither were another a member of other maggots. Marginal Trailer Queen was not the only one who teed off on President Biden. Scott Perry, another January 6th, or another maggot who was deep up to his eyebrows in the terrorist attack of January 6th. Said, breathtaking that President Biden can show up in Ukraine to ensure their borders secure, but can't do the same for America. You dipshit! The whole reason we're supporting Ukraine is because their border is not secure. It's got Russians all over it. The forehead that walks on two legs, Matt Gaetz, said,
on President's Day, I'm not surprised that Biden is ditching America for Ukraine.
And then because he thinks he's presidential timber, there's Ron Monkey Up DeClantis.
Biden's neglecting American problems to show support for Ukraine. He's not done anything to secure our own borders here at home.
Ron, I know you got a Harvard education, hon. but your state borders Georgia and Alabama. Are you going to build a wall? It's Georgia, Alabama, the Gulf of Mexico, the Caribbean, and the Atlantic Ocean. And then there's... there's Nitwit Nero himself. Oh, God, the stupid, it hurts as us.
President's Day is a day to pay tribute to the many presidents who made America the greatest and freest nation on God's green earth.
This is accompanied by a photo of him standing at Mount Rushmore, and you can see the sculpted heads of the presidents there in Mount Rushmore, and the space to the immediate left, his left, of Lincoln. Nitwit Nero standing there in color, grinning, smirking.
While we've had many presidents over the years, only a select few great ones have risen to the occasion to overcome the unique challenges of their time and leave behind a lasting legacy.
This is the thing he put out on President's Day, which, by the way, is actually just Washington's birthday.
We had one of the greats 4 years ago. Now you have the chance to reelect him. You wouldn't pass on the chance to elect George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, and now America cannot pass on the chance to reelect President Trump in 2024. Because now I'm down to talking about myself in the third person, like the Queen of fucking England. Oh, sorry, King. Our founding fathers envisioned a nation where we the people would be sovereign. In 2024, our country has a choice to make. Do we the people reclaim the vision outlined by our founding fathers and preserve through great presidents like Abraham Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt?
Yeah, there's an argument to be made that Teddy had no business on Mount Rushmore, but who am I? I mean, if we're going to add a face to Mount Rushmore, let's make it FDR, shall we? God, that would make maggot heads explode.
Or will we surrender our country to foreign nations, illegal aliens, and powerful global lobbyists? President Trump is 100% confident that America will make the right choice and set our nation back onto the path of greatness. We will make our borders secure again. We will make our economy strong again. We will make our cities safe again. We will make our world peaceful again. We will make our citizens proud again. And we'll kill all the trans people.
I added that one because he actually said that.
Now let's reelect one of the great presidents of our nation's history and save America.
I'm going to say this. I am. We know what Nitwit Nero's family history is. And we know how it is with him and the four Big Macs for lunch thing that he does. I mean, I joke about me snorting metformin off a mirror. That dude's got to be popping them like M&Ms. I'm looking for... no, careful, Robin. Let's just say that somewhere in the future, maybe there will be an announcement that another former president has entered hospice care. God, I feel sorry for anybody who's administering that. They'll have to hide the ketchup from him. The walls, once he's already half demented, the walls will run with the walls will run with Heinz. And he's a cheap bastard. Maybe it'll be, you know, store brand, you know, Publix brand, Fausto's perhaps. Now I'm thinking about Florida. Ron Monkey up DeClantis put a finger in Nitwit Nero's eyes. He held a fundraiser in the very shadow of MAGA Loco. And this just reminded me, I heard, this is kind of wild. You can go and check it out. Check out the call with Scary Jerry last week. And then go find a clip of Prince talking. I think we've got a new conspiracy theory. I think Scary Jerry, Prince may have just gone into hiding. Because Scary Jerry in last week's call sounds so eerily similar to a clip I heard of Prince. I mean, I did a double take.
What?
That's just one of those little things that happens among the synapses from time to time. But we're not done with Marginal Trailer Queen. I can't wait until the day when we are. Today, on President's Day, she marked President's Day by trashing the President of the United States. But she also marked President's Day by suggesting that the work of ever so many past presidents to hold this country together, Washington being one of them, as odious and genocidal as he was, Jackson being another, having threatened to get on his horse in Washington, D.C. and ride to South Carolina and start hanging secessionists until there weren't any more secessionists to hang. Remember, secessionists. And that was, what, the late 1820s, early 1830s? They weren't even talking secession in South Carolina about enslavement. They were talking about secession over other issues. Nullification. Well, today, Marginal Trailer Queen resurrected one of her greatest hits. It's a reboot. It's a remix. She said, and I quote, "We need a national divorce." Maybe she's got divorce on the mind, seeing as how her husband bailed on her. "We need to separate by red states and blue states and shrink the federal government. Everyone I talk to says this." And by everyone I talk to, she means Matt Gaetz, Scott Perry, Andy Biggs. Sometimes she talks to Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, but, you know, those two women are not sitting together at the Mean Girls table anymore. Because Lauren keeps trying to make fetch happen. "Everyone I talk to says this." This also includes the shrieking spirochetes that flit and shriek around in the thin gray settlings between her ears that pass for brains. "From the sick and disgusting woke culture issues shoved down our throats to the Democrats' traitorous America Last policies, we are done." Now, tweeting, I don't think, is covered by the speech and debate clause of the Constitution of the United States. It certainly isn't something that would have been within the contemplation of the framers of the Constitution, you know, in case any originalist judges happen to be listening. It actually really has the whiff of treason about it. I mean, this was one of the animating factors of the terrorist attack of January 6, 2021. I love my buddy Rick Smith because he actually responded to this tweet from Marginal Trailer Queen. Rick, who, by the way, you can hear every night at 9 p.m. online, still one of the best progressive voices in the country, the best labor voice in the country. Replied to her tweet and said, "What's being shoved down your throat? Is that something from your divorce papers? Amazing how Christian conservatives preach, accuse, and point fingers at others, and yet never look in the mirror." Rick, buddy, if you were Marginal Trailer Queen, wouldn't there be sheets on every mirror in your house? Good God. I mean, I thought we took care of this whole red, blue secession stuff 158 years ago. In fact, it's not a matter of I thought. I know we did. We got laws on the books about this. She shouldn't have been able to even run for re-election because of the clause about supporting insurrection that's tucked away in the 14th Amendment thereof. I know it's too much to expect her to flesh thoughts out. Usually she only associates the word flesh with, you know, the gym. Never mind. It's catty. But really, how would that play? Georgia is a net taker in terms of tax dollars. So is Alabama. So is Mississippi. And some other people jumped in and said, "Aren't you already getting a divorce?" Ooh, that had a sting. But of course, she never reads this stuff. She just tweets and moves on. But how would that work? Maybe it's time for somebody in a blue state, otherwise known as a civilized state, to directly address her and say, "Honey, if you get the divorce you want, the blue states are not going to pay child support, you know, for you. All the military bases get shut down. None of the contracting dollars cross the Mason-Dixie line. No more SNAP, no more EBT. Okay, she'd be okay with that. Because, you know, starve." I'm sure she's a big fan of Pastor Hagee. It would be a mess. And I guess it would mean West Virginia. How ironic would that be? West Virginia might be part of the Confederacy, but Virginia might be part of the United States. And by the way, they don't get to keep that name either. We own that, our Constitution. But I can say, I never thought that in any portion of my adult life, based upon the things they taught me as a kid, I never thought that we would be debating secession. We should not be debating secession. The mere mention of secession should be disqualification from office. Maybe the framers of the 14th Amendment dropped the ball on that one. I'm just terribly curious because one of the trending hashtags today was Mar-a-Lardo. Based apparently on a tweet from Trader Tot, you know, Junior.
Breaking news, Trump will visit East Palestine, Ohio next week. If our leaders are too afraid to actually lead, real leaders will step up and fill the void.
Oh, great, just what they need. Maybe he'll bring paper towels. When we had Trump, he vacationed at Mar-a-Lardo and golfed every weekend in New Jersey. He didn't take response. So that explains why Mar-a-Lardo. That was based on a tweet from Kali Maganini, who said, imagine if we had President Trump, hey, to not hide from questions. Again, if there really was a great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky, she'd be a greasy spot. He did not vacation in Delaware as the world crumbled. He did lead, and the world was safer for it. Oh, you idiot. Actually, that line comes from the first Men in Black movie, and it was uttered by Vincent D'Onofrio, and it's more like, oh, you idiot! I don't need the clip for that. I got that one down.
Where is it?
A national divorce. Well, at least Liz Cheney was having none of it. Who, well, clapped back the clapper at Marge. Let's review some of the governing principles of America, Marge. Our country is governed by the Constitution. You swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Secession is unconstitutional. No member of Congress should advocate secession, Marjorie. No word yet on whether Marge had a reply for that. It's just kind of the tip of the iceberg this evening. I haven't looked at the email for a little bit. Kevin in Colorado Springs says, I just tried to contribute, but I tried clicking on the contribute button several times and nothing would happen. Then tried clicking on the make your payments with PayPal button and again, nothing would happen. I hope it's working. We don't need that problem right now. By the way, just because I'm trying to get much better at this, when you listen to the podcast, wherever you listen to it, please like and subscribe and comment. And then tell your friends and neighbors. Tweet about it. Hell, go over and Truth Social about it. Why not? Facebook, Instagram. Snapchat, WhatsApp, Telegram. You know, maybe not the Telegram and maybe not the Truth Social. I don't need the grief. But seriously, we're seeing some new folks in the community, and it's wonderful. And I'm glad y'all are here. Thank you. So like and subscribe and comment. That's two, Brother Deacon. Getting better at this. Let's run over and check in on the Skype line. I think I probably conjured Scott way earlier. And by the way, the stress line is open. The phone is fully charged. It's actually turned on. I've done all the right things by it. And if you'd like to get in via the stress line, that's 844-843-4676. 844-THE-HORN. Okay? Easy, easy, easy. And hello to a couple of new friends that I actually ran into in the Capitol today who said, started listening to the show. It's amazing. E! What a high honor. Thank you so much. Scott, I hear you.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I hear your microphone scraping. I knew you were there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're okay.
I was getting set up. I'm terribly sorry, Robin.
It's quite all right, Scott.
Happy Monday.
Happy President's Day.
Yeah. Isn't that a wild coincidence that both Abraham Lincoln and George Washington were both born on holidays?
You know what is an amazing coincidence? This also is the day that George Washington was born, but it's also the day that Frederick Douglass passed away.
God damn, what's going on out there? There's a heliocopter flying over the place. So what did I say? I don't want them starting in this room.
At least it's not the guy with the leaf blower.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's usually Wednesdays. But no, that's Wednesday is leaf blowing day here at Shea Guru. Come on down.
We got balloons for the kids.
And then pony rides. The main reason I called, well, two main reasons. The first main reason is I'm taking a little break from my ongoing sorting, pitching, cleaning thing in anticipation of the big inspection in about a week. But the other thing was I wanted to give you and the Horn family a TV viewing tip. And I have a feeling this is going to be good. On PBS Tonight, American Experience. Wait a minute. Shit, I had it. And now, wait a minute. You know how your laptop goes into snooze mode? And on mine, anyway, it's got that damn screensaver, which I have no problem with the screensaver. But you've got to punch in the code, and it's just more trouble than it's worth. Where the hell is it, damn it? Oh, there it is. Okay, American Experience, PBS, Tonight. There's a one-hour program called Ruthless. Now, that's just the first word because it's followed by a colon.
World without Ruth.
No. I wonder where Ruth is. No, American Experience, the show title is Ruthless, Monopoly's Secret History. Are you a fan of the board game Monopoly?
Oh, the hours I have spent.
Oh, you and me both.
That and Risk.
I was never a Risk. What was that other one that I liked? Clue. The one where you try to figure out.
Oh, of course, Clue.
Who killed, it was usually Colonel Mustard with the pipe wrench in the library or somewhere.
Only if somebody was rigging the game. I mean, it could have been Miss Plum or Mr. Green. You know,
there was a time, I don't know how old.
The victim's name was?
I have spaced it. All I remember
Mr. Body.
That'll never be my nickname. I mean, really. I went into the this was part of my short-lived New Year's resolution. I went into the health club because they were offering a one-month free trial or a one-month trial for $10 or whatever. And the lady looked me up and down and almost dropped the clipboard because she was pretty direct about it, filling it out and all. She said, look, we do repairs, not reclamations. So I turned on my heel, let it run for a while, and then walked out.
Yeah, this is a gym, not this is a gym, not Lord. Yeah,
Lourdes. You know, well, no, I don't even want to go there. But anyway, this program looks like it's going to be interesting about the origins of Monopoly, and apparently, there was a lot of controversy surrounding that game. You know, it's based on the street layout in Atlantic City, New Jersey. You did know that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, there was apparently years before that, there was a version of the game which was called something else. But then when the guy who brought it to Parker Brothers, who eventually took control of it, and now it's run by Hasbro, apparently the guy who brought it to Parker Brothers got sued all over the place because somebody back in the late 1800s had come up with something that was so similar that he cried foul and said, you know, you're stealing my thing. There was some religious connotation as well in the original version of the game, as I recall. And it's really a fascinating thing. I know it's all literally fun and games, but sometimes we need this just to cleanse our palates. And God knows, after the filibobster, my palate needs cleansing.
Sorry, I need Ipecac.
Why do you even quote these morons? I mean, it's like you already know that they're going to say just irretrievably stupid shit. My head is already filled with, and I don't mean visions of sugar plums here dancing in my head. They're doing the La Bamba, but. Anyway, I just don't. I want to embargo anything that Marjorie Taylor Greene has to say or Lauren.
I wish we could retire her, but the fact of the matter is,
dumb people vote.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, you kind of, you're your own distillery there, Scott.
I certainly are. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Dumb people do vote.
Yes, they do.
And. More so than that, any civil society ignores any manifestation of fascism at its peril.
Oh yes,
I know it's you know some people. Well, hey, Sox.
Hey, kitty. I don't know. Meow.
And that's chasing him now.
Meow, 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 meow.
Okay. Sox is stepping into his condo.
Sox has been escorted from the studio.
But no, what I was... you know, like chasing down the streaker on Monday Night Football.
Oh, yes.
But what I was saying, yeah, I know, like, some of the religious insanity stories get annoying. And I remember years and years and years ago being asked, why do you treat these people as if they're serious? Well, Scott, you know what? That was before 2016. That's why I treated them seriously.
Yeah.
They have no morals. They have no ethics.
They have no sense.
The parts of the Bible that are supposed to matter don't. And they just use it as a BDSM manual, as far as I can tell. And they are a manifestation of American fascism. Yeah. Even other Christian and other faith leaders are saying, you know, this Christian nationalism's really fascist. And I know, oh, by the way, I noticed this morning on my Filthy Morning Habit, Jesus, he gets us. Say it, Scott, say it. Jesus!
Jesus!
Look at the time. But now they're running on Morning Joe. So they're buying ads on MSNBC to make the liberals think that there's some organization out there that's all squishy and decent, you know, decent little Christians.
Well, they are squishy.
But you're never going to see one of those Jesus gets the queers ads. I'm sorry, no, you're not.
No. And why don't they start doing what Jesus said to do?
You mean feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, and visit the immiserated in prison?
Well, in other words, and he didn't say it in these exact words, but basically the message and the example, even more important than the verbal message, the example of the good Lord was, don't be
good
so...
Good Lord. Yeah, sorry.
Don't be so... No. No. And now tonight's headline.
Okay, I'll mute. You talk.
And now tonight's headlines interpreted for the feline among us. But the saying that Jesus never said but probably should have, or if he did say it, it wasn't in these exact words, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I think everybody, whether they're a true believer, or a moderate believer, or any type, or a non-believer, can get on board with the notion of doing some good while we're here, except for the fools that we've been talking about on Moron.
That idea actually has always resonated with me.
Stop being so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good.
No, do something decent with your life.
Yeah. In the time that we're given. And I can't swear to the fact that you can come back as somebody else in some future incarnation. I'm going with the notion that I'll get one shot at this, and come what may, I've got to do the best that I can do.
Yeah, was it Schlitz?
You only go around once in life, and that's why you've got to do it with gusto.
Yes, grab all the gusto with Schlitz.
I thought gusto was an ingredient in beer for years and years and years.
But then again,
yes, I did. You know, water, malt, hops, barley, gusto.
Now, is this domestic gusto or is this imported from elsewhere? I remember that campaign came out about 62 or 3.
But no, I went with that idea because if... There ain't no dress rehearsal. This ain't dress rehearsal.
But this is
the show.
The sad thing about it and the telling thing about it is these people are, these people?
That's okay. You can these people, those people.
Okay. But they spend all of their energies, efforts, and resources on the most unproductive stuff. And I know it pays the big bucks. That check is awfully
sweet. I was going to say, I'm not so sure how unproductive it is.
It needs to be productive in the sense that we should behave in a manner consistent within some amount of time, diminishing it to the point of irrelevance on our side here. I mean, we'll never make them go away. Like Jesus said, the poor you shall have with you always. Well, the irretrievably stupid.
The argument I used to make, Scott. He didn't say poor how. We assume he means pecuniarily poor. But there, you know, but at another point in time, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, the poor in spirit, he had some decent things to say about. But the poor you have always with you? The poor stupid people, the poor idiots.
I think if you go back to the original Aramaic, it works out to dumb fucks.
Right, the fuckwits you have always with you.
Sure.
Is that my first F-bomb this evening? If it is, it may be a modern record, an hour and 44 minutes and 30 seconds.
Now that you mentioned it, that may be the first one in human English, but I think Sox was calling one of us something for a while. I didn't catch it. I'm not I need to brush up on
my... Oh, Annette opened the studio door while the mic was muted, and he shot in like a rocket. It's wet out there. I'm a cat. I know I've got a job here, but give me a break.
I love kitties. I need to get me
a kitty. I pulled in the driveway from Charleston, and he ran right up and put his muddy little paws right on my trench coat, and I was like, you cutie, you.
Yeah, thanks, Socks. Appreciate it. Your trench coat.
Yes.
Is it like one of those that...
It's a trench coat.
Like an old-fashioned reporter's...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like the one Ilse Lund wears at the end of Casablanca.
Oh, you need a fedora.
Yes, I do, but, you know, suspiciously large woman has suspiciously large head.
Well, no. I mean, if they can fit my head, they can sure as hell fit your head. Some years ago, I had a fedora that I ordered direct from the... What is the manufacturer of the cowboy hats? The big-time manufacturer.
Oh, Stetson?
The Stetson factory in St. Joseph, Missouri. Go online and deal with their main office because the prices are...
I'll do that as soon as we get the power bill paid.
Oh, I don't mean right away. Don't stop what you're doing now and go do it. I mean... Stetson, I believe it's St. Joseph, Missouri. But I had the nicest Stetson.
Oh, I had one too once. My father and I had them that matched. It was called the Open Road.
The Open Road. I like
it. It was kind of a buff color. It had double peaks, and yeah, it was nice.
Did it have a little feather in the band?
It had a leather band, and yeah, I'm pretty sure there was a little feather.
Yeah. I didn't like the feather. It just detracted from the overall feel.
It was too sporty.
I don't think Humphrey Bogart ever wore a fedora that had a feather in it.
It was CGI'd out.
Oh, okay. But anyway, I'm so far afield. You see, you've got to get a little bell and ring it when I start doing that.
Well, I got to draw back in just for a minute because, you know, we're more than halfway through the program. And so we are $10 toward Ralph's Kit-A-Meme Challenge. And Matt jumped out there and said, electricity ain't free challenge. $100 on the table. If met, I'll throw in another 100. That's huge. Come on, people. Let's not allow the horn to go silent. There's a real risk, and I mean, I'm kind of sick with worry. But thank you, Matt. Thank you so much. So that's a doubling. That's not a doubling challenge. That's a tripling challenge. And those are huge. That would, if Ralph's challenge is met and Matt's challenge is met, we would get down to $900 to go. And that would be profound. I know it seems like so much, but, you know, we're at 1,300, so that's 4 days programs and one-third of another. So that's a third of Tuesday, then all of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and today. So that's where we are.
The reason I paused there, it wasn't for dramatic effect or anything, but on my TV, I bring the program in through the Apple Music thing that I have on my TV, okay? And I click the horn icon and I listen to the show that way because everything that goes out of the TV also goes through the wireless headphones, so which is why I fire up the TV. But after a while, the Apple TV thing will put a screensaver, and they just put a screensaver on that looked like the plume of black smoke over that train derailment. I don't know whether they're trying to tell me something, or now they're an overhead view of a contour plowed farmland out somewhere, and I don't know why I'm looking at it. I should be talking to you, but it's mesmerizing. You ever get caught up in a screensaver?
Yeah. Well. I don't know about... I think Apple does, too. But I know Microsoft knows that we're all just, you know, cats staring at a fishbowl. because, you know, every time I restart, I get this amazing photograph of somewhere on planet Earth that I'll never see. But it's, but I sit there and go, damn, where is that? Happens.
And now I can't tell whether this is now they've got it. It's either an overhead view of trees or a pile of freshly plucked bud. And I don't mean the beer.
Welcome to Screensaver Talk with Robin and Scott.
All right, I should turn it off or avert my eyes. But anyway, the main thing I wanted to mention was the American Experience tonight on PBS.
Ruthless.
Monopoly. Ruthless. The ruthless history of Monopoly. It looks fascinating. But in real world news, I'm so sad about Jimmy Carter. And I know that at, what is he, like 98?
He's 98. If you say cut down your prime, I'm going to reach through the internet and strangle
no,
you.
No, I wasn't going to say that. He's had some health challenges and age.
Dude,
is
beat brain cancer, please.
Well, I know, but nothing is forever, okay? And really, what is that saying, only the good die young? Well, I think 98 is an awfully good run, and in many ways, he is an awfully good man. In terms, you talk about the example of Jesus. If you're going to be a Christian, housing people, actually getting there.
I met Rosalind a couple of times.
He always struck me as more sweet than Rosalind was.
No, she was the epitome of the real version of a lady. Not artifice. She was that graceful. I met her once at a party, and I met her another time just by happenstance. I was buying I'm so old. I was buying a crate of blank cassettes, and I was such a cassette snob. I was in Turtles Tapes and Records, and I think probably Lenox Square Mall in Atlanta.
Turtles, like the thing with the shell?
Yes, Turtles.
Huh.
Oh, they were big. You know, back when places where you bought music were big.
What did you
But she
for?
Walked. She walked up to me and said, "Mr. Robin, how are you?" And that, you know, that's a mark. That's a thing. She had remembered me from the party where I met her.
Ah, okay.
And I think it might be because I made such a to-do over her Plains cheese ring.
Her what? You faded out there. I'm not being cute.
Her Plains cheese ring. Oh, we've entered food porn.
I think you've mentioned
that. I have mentioned that. It is the most delicious little hors d'oeuvre kind of, you know, snack on, you know, self-serve snack on it thing. It's wonderful.
Is the way you lay it out, is there like a cheese ball in the center of it? Like
No. Actually, you use like a fluted bundt pan.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, you are a culinary illiterate, Scott.
Like a bundt cake pan.
Yeah.
I know what that is.
Yeah, and you kind of oil it, and then in a bowl you mix up like three different kinds of cheddar cheese, finely shredded, with some crushed pecans and minced onion and mayonnaise and cayenne pepper. And you work it all together, and then you pat it nicely into the bundt pan. And you put it in the fridge, and you put your plastic wrap on it so that it won't get gross. You know, you want to create an anaerobic environment.
No, you don't want a cheese skin on top of
right.
it.
Right.
Put it on the table.
Cheese
the
skin.
Guests.
Well, you know, there went, you... went. Well, we're very close to fucking up Billable Rick's Slate snack out there. you put it and you let it firm up, and when you're ready to serve it, you turn it out onto a plate, and it sits there all pretty with that lovely shape. And then you take a jar of strawberry preserves, and you dump it in the middle. and you serve it with Triscuits. Or like,
I was going to say, what do you dip into it?
You set like a butter knife or whatever there with, and a spoon, and you put a little bit of cheese, put a little bit of the cheese ring on a Triscuit, and then you put a little dollop of strawberry preserves, and then you're just happy. And when I met her, I was like, how did you come up with that? And she said, I was just messing around the kitchen one day. And
oh, no.
He's had it, okay? Sox has had it, and he likes it.
Oh, yeah. Kitty cats like cheesy stuff because the basis for it is milk, and cats love milk usually.
Yes. And so I think, you know, just because I gushed about it, because, God, I just stood there hovering. I mean, you like that, don't you? Yes, I do, ma'am. It's like, well, you remember the Warner Brothers mice that were takeoff on the Honeymooners, and the one girl mouse says, cheese. I simply adore cheese.
I love it.
That's a line in this house. I'll reach into the fridge and pull out, and Annette will look at me and go, cheese. I simply adore cheese.
Somebody I know will not eat cheese because they don't like the idea of solid milk product. Now, who is it that will not touch it?
That better not be a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation.
No, it's somebody.
It can't be.
It's somebody from some years ago, and for some reason I just can't remember. Well, why would I want to remember anybody who doesn't appreciate fromage? I mean, come on.
Bring forth the fromage de la Belle France. Oh, the cat's eating it. See, the cat's eating it.
For those who don't know what that is.
That's cheese shop.
The cheese shop.
Wensleydale. Yes, sir.
That's my name.
That's my name, Mr. Wensleydale.
Shut that bloody
bazooki off. Oh, my God. That's so that is so lacking in context.
Oh, it is. But, well, we were talking about cheese. No, there's a Monty Python bit called The Cheese Shop. And I forget who's in it. But
what a senseless waste of human life.
Yes, I'm afraid I'm going to have to shoot you.
Poor long-suffering John Cleese, who turned out to be a right-wing. Yeah, never mind. Or maybe maybe he's just cranky now.
Well, yeah.
But I have some thank yous to send out. Thank you so much to Theo in Oregon, and thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. We're now only $10 away from being finished with Ralph's challenge, and then we will get busy on Matt's Electricity Ain't Free challenge, which is a big deal. Both are very big deals. Randy Radar reminds us a lot of cats are lactose intolerant and don't know it, but their owners sure do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 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 yes. And with a hairball reference, Rick's snack is officially done.
Sorry, Rick.
Bet he's got cheese on his sandwich.
Now, did you have a favorite? Let me ask you this while we're on the topic of cheeses.
Yes, of course.
Is Hickory Farms still a thing? Do they have
only maybe they've got an online presence, but they do pop-ups in malls now at Christmas, and they don't have half the inventory they once had. Mostly they traffic in summer sausages.
Yeah,
and cheese spreads.
See, now I want the real deal.
Right, same. When I was a kid, we would travel to Huntsville, Alabama, to the really big good mall that had a Hickory Farms in it, and there was cheese from everywhere.
Oh yeah, and they would give you little slices of it.
Oh, you could stand in there and have dinner.
It. Oh yeah, but
they didn't care. It's like, would it be too much to ask? Oh, come on, please, that's my job.
Did you ever have the beef jerky from Hickory Farms?
God, yes, and the beef stick, the summer sausage.
Oh yes. Oh dear, now I'm getting hungry. Now I'm getting hungry. But
I don't know if they still do, but you know who has a great summer sausage? Or did?
I don't know.
Have you ever heard of Schwann's?
Oh, is that the delivery thing?
Yeah, the big yellow truck, freezer truck, yes. Drives around. Yeah.
I don't think we have it out here, but no,
I see one every now and then, but they don't just like go door to door hustling product anymore. like they used to. You've got to, like, contact them. And, you know. But, their summer sausage is amazing. Or was. And they used to have these little sourdough, frozen sourdough rolls that you just popped in the oven. And they were, like, flaky as hell. And it was like you were sitting in a French brasserie.
We have actually stepped over that line and gone full on food porn.
Didn't mean to. It all started with a cheese ring and Miss Rosalind.
It sure did. But what I was saying was I'm just really, I saw him in Alexandria in 76. He had come to my fair city when he was still campaigning. And there was quite the turnout for it. And I have a picture somewhere from the place I was standing. And it was, remember the Instamatic camera?
Lord, yes.
So you don't get much in the way. You can't do a close-up because the lens is not adjustable. But he was up there talking about something.
Probably about wanting to be president or something like that.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know what he... What his, I guess his thing, his basic campaign and approach had to do with after Watergate and the pardon and everything, bringing integrity back. Well, that didn't last long. He did his 4 years, and then we got Reagan, and that's when the shit really started hitting the fan.
That's what I meant when I mentioned the fact that, you know, from Nixon's skullduggery to Reagan's, it's only 12 years. And from thinking we had taken care of corruption in American government to Reagan is five?
Well, and it's a trap that we can easily, or have, maybe even some places have fallen into now, because just because Trump is out and Biden is in, and we have control of the Congress, don't start celebrating quite yet, because you know how the elections are. Every 2, 4, or 6 years, it could change, and it could change for the worse. And you were saying the other day that 24 is going to be...
24 is a freaking nightmare year for Democrats.
Oh, Jesus.
Especially in the Senate.
And I know that there are some people that say, well, yeah, occasionally they've got to be put back in charge because that gives an opportunity to fuck up, which means that they're out of there sooner. Well, they don't want to be out of there anymore. They want to get in there and stay in there. And therein lies the problem. I mean, isn't that on the fascist?
Well, and one thing to bear in mind is we're a little screwed right now. As a result of John Fetterman, let me not interrupt, say it.
We're all screwed, Robin.
There, exactly. Because remember, Senator Fetterman's kind of out of commission right now.
So we're back to basically 50-50.
Yeah.
And
two of those are Sinema and Manchin.
Oh, dear.
So I presume that Vice President Harris is on call again.
And I hope that we keep the, I liked her. She was a little too conservative for me compared to the other Democrats who ran in 2020 or 20, what year is this now? 2020? When Biden was elected in 2020. But, I mean, compared to a Republican, I mean, even the most conservative or harshly moderate Democrat would be better than any Republican you can name.
Well, sure.
The other day
one of the talking points about Vice President Harris is that Biden's ignoring her. She's not a very effective vice president. Well, you know what? When you're on call for this to preside over the Senate of the United States 24/7 or whatever, it's hard to have a publicly visible face. It's hard to go out there and help the president advance his agenda because the president agenda is at hazard in a 50-50 Senate.
Yeah.
And I don't know that anybody ever thinks about that, but I'm the weirdo who does.
Well, I, like I say, I if push came to shove, if she had been the nominee up against Trump, I would have voted for her just because, that other way lies madness. And lies and lies and lies on top of it.
Oh, and a reminder from Matt in San Francisco. We're even more screwed. Matt says, don't forget Bob Casey. He's out due to prostate issues.
Oh, Senator Casey?
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
Oh, man.
I mean, it was bad enough with the starters healthy. Now, we had the story last week that Teaster and Manchin are kind of, yeah, I don't know. And that's, and
Tester, you mean?
Teaster. His name is pronounced Teaster.
Oh, I thought it was Tester.
No, Teaster. At least that's what he told me.
Well, I'm not going to argue.
But so you got that. You got Fetterman out. I mean, Fetterman's, we don't have to worry about Fetterman in 24. Bob Casey, we do have to worry about in 24. And, you know, does Dr. Oz, has he not had enough? Does he want another bite of the crudité?
You know, I wondered, ring the bell. That's a cowbell worth it.
Thank you. Very generous.
Thank you. I'm throwing beads off the float as it passes by.
Oh, that's tomorrow, you know. I mean, it's been going on for a week, but yeah, tomorrow's Mardi Gras.
Is it for real?
Really and for true.
I don't, maybe because I don't follow the liturgical calendar anymore. I lost track of, because Lent seems to come early some years, and it has something to do with the moon or the 28-day cycle of lunar, I don't know. But don't get me started on
theology. Well, Lent is tied to Easter, and Easter is determined on a formula that involves a magic eight ball and a Ouija board, just like bra sizes.
Your lucky dice, don't forget.
Yeah, your lucky dice.
Mother McCree's lucky dice.
And depending on which flavor of Christian you are, you will slaughter infidels over when you celebrate Easter. Because, you know, that's one of those things where the mother church, when it split up, is like, wow, oh, no, we can't, you know, marginal trailer queen language. We need a national divorce. We need a religious divorce. Because they can't, the Orthodox and the Catholics can't decide when to celebrate Christmas and Easter. They can't land on one. Orthodox Christmas is like January 5th or something. Because they're using different calendars.
Well, and they also do it to when they're doing their Christmas shopping. It's during the after Christmas sale from the other Christmas. And the bargains. I mean, you talk about price to move, boys and girls. Anyway.
And all the remotes. Oh, there's a lot going on down here for the big Orthodox Christmas sale. The Catholics and the Protestants paid retail.
Buy a chance to win one of them hats that the big paraclete. What do they call that guy? The head of the Greek? The Greek Orthodox.
Are you talking about the patriarch?
The paraclete? What am I thinking?
Patriarch.
Oh, patriarch. Well, what's paraclete? That's a religious term, isn't it?
Well, it's a pair of football shoes half cleat. It's like, you know, they're not real cleats; they're paracletes.
No, a paraclete's a little blue bird. Sometimes they're yellow, or sometimes they're white.
Green, They can be green
or green. Yes, and they sit in the cage and they just.
We have a paraclete in this house, and
it just shit everywhere.
His name is Sonic. And,
Sonic,
yeah,
like
and
the
he
bird
and
toy?
He yeah yeah Sonic no like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh,
because my granddaughter named him, and he needs a friend. So,
Hedgehog like Ron Jeremy, I mean, no.
See, this is this is what I said earlier. This is what separates the boomers from the Gen Xers. I make a very obvious video game reference, and it's totally raw. It's totally lost on the boomer.
Yeah. Well. Hey, but we give the boomers credit for something. I don't know what, but give us credit for something. We made America safe for.
Well, I mean,
slackers.
Y'all did make acid very popular.
Ooh, don't get me started on acid, man.
At least not on the show.
No, yeah, that's. There's nothing more useful.
Purple and big. And why is it wearing paisley?
And it's throbbing. It's throbbing. And it's
the walls are breathing, damn it. Why do you do this to me?
I'd be afraid to even lick the Timothy Leary postage stamp. You know, you
never come back.
Oh, God, no. I was trying to stay on a serious subject, and we just free associated our way.
Well, that's our job. Randy Radar, by the way, is serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Easter Research Department. Non-Orthodox Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox.
Now, who comes up with this stuff?
Are you kidding me? I'm not kidding you. They have fought wars over this foolishness.
But now, how much of this is a carryover from the pagan traditions? Because you know that they superimpose.
Interesting, you should mention pagans because subject line. I mean, this came in contemporaneously. This was not planned. This is how the Horn Family Community Congregation works.
It's the mind.
Subject, the hive mind of the Horn. Yes.
Yeah.
Subject line, ask a pagan. Hi, Robin and Scott, Theo says. Easter falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. Us pentacle wearers, ironically, tend to know this better than the Christian calendar editors. So
didn't they sort of superimpose the Christian? Because they wanted to take advantage of the holidays.
You're making me do religious stuff on a Monday, Scott, and you have no idea how many people that pisses off.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Are they gathering stones as we speak?
But remember, the OG Easter. You know, Jesus getting up and going walking about and no longer able to eat M&Ms because they fall through the holes in his hands, Easter.
That's right.
That all took place during Passover. And there are very specific rules because Judaism is totally rule-oriented on when Passover happens. And 3, 2, 1, I'll get an email from Lee in New York, who's our official Judaica correspondent. Hi, Lee. And somewhere along the way, some pissed off bishop decided he didn't like it, and the rules didn't apply to him, and the next thing you know, the streets were running with blood as high as the fetlocks of horses. Yeah, because the Bible's full. And the streets shall run with blood, and their eyes shall rot out, and their heads and their tongues shall... Yeah, sure. But,
Well, I mean, when you're talking about any theology of that sort, Judeo-Christian, the angel of death can't catch a break. I mean,
I always loved it. I love best when Johnny Cash did it. And behold, a pale horse. And hell rode with him, and death was his name. You know, that Revelation stuff.
Yes. I don't even want to think about that.
I remember thinking about that one time when we were shooting video at a mountaintop removal site, and there was all this white dust, and it's like, yeah, behold a pale dump truck, and its name was Death, and hell rode with it.
Well, what is that big valley? And don't bring Barbara Stanwyck into it, Scott, because we'll never get away from it. But What is that big
hey?
Valley? What is that big valley where the Super Bowl of biblical proportions is going to take place?
Ah, Har-Megiddo.
Who?
Har-Megiddo. That's the original. That's the original. Har-Megiddo. Har-Megiddo. No, Armageddon.
Okay, well, but there's a name of the valley. Is the valley called that?
Megiddo. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Har-Megiddo is the hill of Megiddo. Megiddo is just the valley. Yeah.
Okay. See, the reason I'm relying on you and the Horn family is my Hal Lindsey Late Great Planet Earth book is propping up one of the legs of the table.
I understand. In the other room. At least it's finally doing something useful.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And the princes of Gog and Magog. If you only knew the hours. My blessed grandmother sitting there, by the time her mind was gone, but she could rip out a Bible verse at a hard look, and she crocheted. She crocheted till the end of her days. And it somehow brought her peace to have the PTL club on.
Oh, dear, sweet, merciful Jesus.
And she and my mother would sit there watching the PTL club, and I would, and I would be watching it because either it was summer or maybe I was home from school sick or something. And you know, there is nothing like Jim and Tammy Faye Baker talking to Hal Lindsey to make you wish you were not sick and could be at school being yelled at for chewing gum.
And they're in debt. They're dead serious when they're doing it.
Oh,
because they know that the poor, the folks out there.
Oh, they're selling it. They're selling it. Yeah.
Oh, selling it big time. I met Hal Lindsey, of all people, and somewhere around here, I've got an autographed copy of one of his books.
Somewhere around here is my living Bible with Ebb's autograph in it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we talked about that. Please. People will think this is a repeat. Stop it.
No, it's not a repeat. This is.
By the way, Easter Ostara, Theo says, more pagan stuff. And yeah, Scott's right about the Christian holidays being superimposed on pagan days of observances. Our crowd kvetches, we're ecumenical that way, about these cultural pilferages endlessly. It was our holiday. They stole it from us. They veneered some Jesus onto it. Look, Saturnalia, Christmas, Valentine's Day. That was, and basically every saint day is overlaid some sort of pagan holiday somewhere. Because, well, it was a great way for an upstart church to get a hook into the hide of the populace. No, you can still have your holidays. We're just going to name it after this saint, and don't fuck.
Yeah, certainly not on the high holy thing. But.
And meanwhile, that part comes with a nudge and a wink because the whole scam was predicated on lots of.
On what?
Lots of fucking, yeah.
Oh, the begetting business.
Yeah, I mean, they basically, who do you think the tobacco industry copied? You got to get the next generation of smokers, you got to get the next generation of Christians.
Well, but isn't it a sign of progress that the generations are not, I mean, the younger let's see, we had the boomers and then Gen X, is that the next one? Mm-hmm. And what comes after Gen X?
I think that's when the millennials show up.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is, it seems like...
Some of the young people I saw today are actually alphas.
But they're not buying into it. It's like the cycle has been interrupted. Somebody has shoved a stick into the spokes. I'm not saying universally. I'm just saying that... Apparently, the younger people today are smart enough to look at what that got us, and how much.
Well, one hopes, but that's, see, we're back. Okay, now we're back to the Jesus. Jesus, he gets us. Jesus,
yeah,
you got me. Jesus, look at the time. But that's the purpose of these ads. These gospel shops know that their brand is trash. And frankly, they know who trashed them. They did all by themselves.
They're trying to relevant it up.
No, they're trying to rehabilitate the brand.
Yeah, but
because after after 5 years of Nitwit Nero and these 2 years of barking evangelicals and the rise of Christian fascism, they've got a problem. And, you know, the late, great Bob Lotti uttered a phrase one evening on this program that has stayed with me, yea, verily, unto this day. And that is, most new Christians practice their Christianity with a rosary in one hand and a dead chicken in the other. But that's not enough anymore. And they're losing, and you know, and that's great, but the people with a rosary in one hand and a dead chicken in the other, the one thing they don't have is a pot to piss in. They need the people with the money.
Yeah.
And the people with the money are the ones who are falling away, otherwise known as the rubes. And that's not good for the rise of your Christian nationalist fascism.
But the game's not anywhere near over. I mean, whenever their power and their influence and their, you know, their wealth is being challenged in any way, or even argued with, even spoken against, they dig in and they hang on, and they fight more fiercely.
Right. So, you know, that's why all this is just it's a facade. It's lipstick on a pig. And thank you so much, Cynthia, out in the Bay Area. Thank you, Cynthia. Cynthia? Jesus, Robin. Thank you. Time.
What's in this coffee?
Thank you, Cynthia, in the Bay Area. That's a huge help. Tremendous help. That finishes Ralph's challenge and gets us $15 into Matt's Electricity Ain't Free tripling challenge. So what that means is that we've got $85 to go on Matt's challenge, and well, we've got a little over a half hour to get there. And the sum total of all of that would be to bring us down from 1,400 to 1,000. No, 900, sorry. Because we got down to, yeah. So thank you. And that's big. That's really, really big. $85 to go. And then we'll go from there. I'll take that. I'll send it to the send it personally to the CEO of Appalachian Electric Power. Note, you get it. Jesus didn't get this.
Shifting gears just a little tiny bit, yeah, because we kind of talked about him before. By him, I mean Trump. One of the shows that I was watching late last week, or maybe the middle of, I say watching, listening to, because I can no longer watch my MSNBC or my CNN. I've got to listen to it because the tier of service for that on my TV. And fuck them.
They screwed you.
Bastard. Yes, they
screwed you. Screw you at the drive-through.
But anyway, one of the programs was talking about, was this my listening, or is this what's actually being said, what I'm about to say? Is there a sense of imminence in terms of the legal wheels finally beginning to kick into gear with Trump in these various venues?
We keep saying that. And yeah, the various and sundry pundits keep saying that. I would say if there is a degree of imminence out there, it's probably happening in the Fulton County DA's office via Fonnie Willis. Tish James, Letitia James in New York, is not far behind.
Well, that's a good thing, though, right? That they're finally getting it into gear. I don't think...
Well, they've been in gear. That's the thing. This is so complex and so convoluted that it's hard to it's hard to wrap your head around. But the sheer number of documents that have to be gone over, the number of witnesses who have to be called, then the number of witnesses who have to be compelled. The American legal system is not designed for rapid justice because the framers of the Constitution had this notion that rapid justice often wound up being injustice. The court has to have time to percolate.
Didn't they bring in a lot of lawyers from in the Justice Department from other venues?
Well, sure, and Jack Smith is out there working hammer and tongs, and he's up against a ticking clock. Okay, here we go.
All right.
An anonymous friend of the program has finished off. Has finished off Matt's electricity and free challenge, so we've actually knocked off like last Tuesday and part of Wednesday, and we've got Thursday, Friday, and today, and so we are somewhere in the neighborhood of $900 now. If we could raise that, we'll knock out the damn power bill. And I hate talking about it. But no, in answer to your question, Jack Smith is working, Tish James is working, Fonnie Willis is working, and you know he's got other idiotic lawsuits that he involved himself in. And at some point in time, you know, he's already been hammered for $1 million. In Florida, and he's had to post a bond for it, which I'm sure pissed him off to no end. But the real serious stuff, ultimately, you know, and this is really a rubber meets the road kind of moment. The real serious stuff, the Merrick Garland has no say-so over what happens in the New York Attorney General's office, and he has no say-so over what happens in the Fulton County District Attorney's office. But all three of those groups, the USAG, Fulton County, and the state of New York, all have the same fundamental horns of a dilemma, and that is this. Which does the greater harm? Indicting a former president or not indicting a former president? I think people like you and me and the Horn Family Community Congregation come down solidly in the not indicting camp. And through the long lens of history, if we could have worked out some criminal justice on Richard Nixon, if, you know, Gerald Ford had not cashed his check, no, some of this check. Shit might not have gone down. It might have had a deterrent effect.
Yeah, well, see, that's just the problem. There are so many things that have been, we've just let it slip by because we don't want to be any further traumatized. But sometimes you need
our long national nightmare is finally over.
No, but seriously, sometimes you need that extra trauma for it to register and sink in a widespread enough way so that we can, going forward, maybe, hopefully, you know, avoid some of these things. Because we've seen what letting it go has gotten us, which is not much. If anything, I don't think there are two things that you can reinforce. You can reinforce the confidence of the majority of people in the stability and reliability of the system, or you can reinforce it's going to shit. And there's nothing that anybody's willing to do. And the more that they don't do it, the worse it gets. And I don't like the worse it gets scenario.
No. The problem is that even if we indict him, we've still got one other sort of Damocles hanging over our heads, namely that you can't indict a sitting president. You know, that Office of Legal Counsel memo from 1975 that was reaffirmed that says essentially the president is above the law. Well, here's a question for you, Legal Eagles. What about the prosecution of an already indicted president? Whoo, there's a new one.
Well, and see, once the indictment has occurred and has been handed down, has been arrived at, you pick whichever verb you want, that's sort of set in stone, and aren't you compelled to go forward with it? Or is that uncharted territory?
The latter.
And who gets to decide? I mean, I know the answer already. It's the robed...
Puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties.
And I wouldn't mind the robes so much, but they're like those late 50s, early 60s nuns that I grew up with the...
Oh, remember why they wear the robes.
Why? Well, there's several schools of thought on that.
They wear the robes because the origins of the Anglo-American jurisprudential system are rooted in the church.
Oh, you're talking about judges. Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. By the way, I gotta clear something up. Darlene wrote a little bit ago, you're confusing me, Robin. You were talking about Rosalynn Carter in the past tense, and I had to look her up because I didn't think she's deceased. She's still alive. She's 95 years old, beginning to wonder what's wrong with me and how I missed the memo. Don't worry. No, I was talking about her in the past tense because my interactions with her were in the past tense. Now you want to talk about pushing up daisies. No. Turtles Records and Tapes is pushing up daisies, I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
What did they charge for a single at Turtles back then? A 45. They still had 45s, right?
I don't know if 45s even existed. I mean, this is like 1986. This is the digital age. This is
86?
Yeah.
They were gone by then?
I think so.
Oh, my.
Because like I said, I was in there shopping for cassettes and videotapes.
Now, did Turtles have a section usually roped off and you had to be over 18?
No. This was a respectable chain.
Oh.
We're not talking about budget tapes and records in Charleston, West Virginia that sells cigars and various and sundry forms of clothing and bongs and roach clips and papers and has a roped off section. But they also sell trashy lingerie and things like that. And you know, they've survived all the changes in they're still down there. And I'm sure that this legislature will eventually find a way to criminalize budget tapes and records. You know, where all the Republicans go for their bongs.
Yes. man.
And you know what? I need to do something. I need to bring on the stress line, whoever it is. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Robin, and good evening, Scott.
Hey, Dave.
I've been listening to you now. I'm a little confused there, Robin.
What have I done now?
I believe you said the state of Georgia was in the business of kidnapping. Earlier in the program, you said that the state of Georgia was a net taker. Well, where are they taking her? That's what I want.
Oh, wait a minute. Bless your heart. You stayed on hold. You got right to it. I'm so proud of you. I can't wait to tell them that.
And for the record, The lawyer staff at Crazy Dave's have told me to inform Billable that I am not responsible for today's ruining of your engagement.
No, that was Scott and me. Mostly Scott.
Yeah, it usually is.
But I called you. You said that the young people really inspired you this morning.
They did.
And I think they're not the only ones that are getting it, Robin. A certain beloved elderly lady of my acquaintance and yours was at a Super Bowl party at a bar, and one of her companions was referring to the referees on the screen by the term used for a bundle of sticks to start a bonfire.
Oh, lovely.
And she drew him up short in a way that I thought was beautiful. She said, I've got friends and colleagues in that community, and I'll be damned if I'm going to let you talk badly about them. And she goes, I don't know if it did any good. And I told her, I said, Christine, it did plenty good. It's people like you that stand up and say, no, this is wrong. At the time it said, that do make the difference. You know, so. And I sent a little something along to you while I was on hold to help with the power bill. So,
I need to.
You should be receiving that shortly.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Dave.
I am sorry to hear about President Carter. Whether you agreed with his methods or not, whether you agreed with him lusting in his heart, or whatever else, I can't say that the man has been a bad person or not been a role model to other former presidents about what they can do with their post-presidential lives. Now, some former presidents won't pay any attention to that. We won't mention names. I think, you know, it's sad that he's going, man, has he had a run. I mean, if there's a man who ever deserved, and I believe he has received the Peace Prize, it would be.
Yes, he did.
Jimmy Carter.
He got it for bringing Begin and Sadat together.
And he's continued that work through the Carter Center through election monitoring, which, by the way, I would love to see the Carter Center monitor the U.S. election and then have Nitwit Nero say, maybe we don't get up. Because if anybody in the United States knows how to do it, it's the Carter Center. Well, you know, he has been hanging out in the blind, and he's been raiding my liquor cabinet. I did get my 445th, but he's been going through them, and I don't know. Maybe I'll ask Eric to make him a cup of coffee like he did his mama. You know. We'll put it at the bottom of of the steps there. And, well, you know, Nitwit Nero doesn't like stairwells or stairways. So, but he, and then the reason I do that so well is my hook is that he's a toddler in a man's body. And it'd be like, I muddle the voice a little bit. It'd be more like, but Robin, this is all wrong. you know, and just kind of whiny and bitchy. And I got that clue from a man who's now facing criminal charges. You know, this is what happens when you don't make absolutely fucking sure that the gun you're using on a set is safe. There, okay. Alec Baldwin once said that he always approached him as a guy who was just pissed off at the world. And that's how that was his hook into it. Your hook is...
Dave, I think that, do you remember the cartoon do you remember the cartoon character, animated cartoon character, Baby Huey?
Oh, absolutely. You mean the duck whose mama ended up spoiling him rotten? Yeah. Well,
I think there is an element of a dollop of Baby Huey in Trump. I've always thought that. Sort of.
You know, they did have the Baby Trump flying over various protests.
I thought the Air Force shot that
down. And he got so pissed off at that.
Never mind.
Remember the helium-filled balloon?
Yeah.
The Baby Trump? Evidently, that made Nitwit Nero furious. He was very disrespectful. I'll defer to his expertise on being disrespectful. I can't challenge him on his skills as being a disrespectful piece of shit. But we need to start calling these Nazis out for who they are. And as for indicting, hell, not only should you indict, you should move forward to the prosecution. Because the indictment is simply advising a prosecutor that, yeah, you have the grounds to go forward. That's all it is.
Well, it's actually an evidentiary finding of a certain level of proof that it is more than likely than not that a crime was committed, and it's more than likely than not that the person being discussed is the person who committed the crime.
But I don't understand why Georgia made Fannie Willis go through the special grand jury when it seems like that was an unnecessary step.
She had to get...
They could have gone to a regular...
But grand juries only meet periodically, and there was an urgency to it, so she had to get leave of the court to impanel the grand jury, which gave the court supervisory authority.
And normally the court would just simply make a call as to whether something was within bounds or something like that. I get that. But it seems like they've handled this pretty well. Anytime I've noticed, anytime that a target of a grand jury gets squirrely, that's when they start messing up. You know, and Nitwit Nero couldn't keep his mouth shut to save his ass. His lawyer may look over at him and say, Mr. Trump, it's better if you shut the fuck up. But he would be like, but I need them to understand. No, you need to shut the fuck up. I mean, I'm sure many law school debts would be paid if lawyers got extra bonus money for giving that simple advice to their clients over the years. If they got, you know, $5 or $10 every time they told somebody, shut the fuck up, this is in your best interest, then, you know, law school debt would be paid for. But we need, as far as not conservatives, you know, progressives, Democrats, we need to hold these people's feet to the fire. And I love the fact that even though they're in the minority on some of these ginned up subcommittees, they're making their point by, let's say, bringing Jim Shorts Jordan up short or any other number of maggots. I think the idea of bringing the former members of the Ohio State wrestling team to sit front and center during the public portions of the hearings would be brilliant. But those young men have been through enough. If they want to, they should. If not, people should leave them alone. I think that we're finally learning, hopefully, to stop playing patty cake with Nazis. You know, stop changing their diapers and start charging them.
I got to tell you a story. I told you that the kids inspired me earlier today.
Yes, ma'am, you did.
I have to reach into the pocket of my trench coat here. A young one walked up to me today and handed me a handmade e-zine.
A handmade what?
E-zine. Or zine. It is literally a handcrafted track. This young person couldn't have been more than maybe 10th grade, 11th.
Oh, wow.
It is 9 pages long. I'm wrong. It is 15 small pages long. On the back here is a little hand drawing of a raccoon holding a can of beer, and it says, A Porch Beers Press Production. The title of it is Sadness or Euphoria, Billy Joel, Queer Joy, and Taking Down Fascism. Like I said, couldn't have been more than 11th grade. And just walked up to the old lady and said, could I give you a copy of my zine about taking down fascism? And I said, you absolutely can, and I can't wait to get home and read it, because I hate fascism. And they looked at me and said, I do too. Fuck fascism. And I said, fuck fascism. And we both just beamed. It's like, these poor little Republican assholes have no idea what this generation coming up has in store for them. Yeah.
Right. I mean, hell, the older members of that generation are getting into the Congress now. The Republicans ought to start getting a clue in about 4 to 6 years. When more of these young people come forward, and you get these younger people in there, and I'm not.
I want you to hear what
seem to be a lot more assertive about their rights than people of our generation are.
I want you to hear what this young man wrote.
Okay.
Oh, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. And I'm going to mention something, because something that I wrote got some rather public notice a little bit ago. When one of the bills came out, and I put at the bottom, the motto of this state is Montani Semper Liberi. Maybe they added an asterisk. And so I put the asterisk there, and then at the bottom I put the asterisk, just like it appears at the bottom of the page, except trans. You never know who you're going to touch. Hi.
Yeah.
It says, hi, my name is Elliot, and I'm a trans man living in Huntington, West Virginia. This zine is an excerpt from Porch Beers, Issue 5, and has been created specifically for the Fairness for All Lobby Day 2023. Why didn't I have him sign this? The current West Virginia legislative session has several bills that would severely negatively alter the lives of trans folks in West Virginia. I'm not sure if this will help. Hell, I'm not sure if anything will help some days. But West Virginia's my home, and you're going to have to throw me out kicking and screaming. If this makes you rethink your views on trans folks, come talk to me. If this makes you mad, stay mad. Montani Semper Liberi doesn't have an asterisk. How about that?
Oh, my God.
As the Department of Homeland Security handed down a statement saying my loved ones and I were the targets of domestic terrorism after some goobers in North Carolina cut power to 40,000 to prevent a drag show, a Billy Joel ran through my head. Oh, my God, this is an 11th grade guy that knows Billy Joel lyrics. Help me. They say that these are not the best of times, but they're the only times I've ever known. I wish I'd never lamented in the past that Gen Z had it easy because they'd never known the hard times queer millennials had, as now they're getting them in spades. If I had to do it over again, I'd have a million shitty comedy duos like Bill and Ted call each other faggot casually as opposed to armed insurrectionists blocking brunch because I dared to breathe too noticeably in public. Oh, this kid. Oh, this boy. This young man. Oh, I'm busting with pride. I gotta find Elliot. It's not the first time in human history by far, but then again, maybe that's the sad part. It's not that we learned nothing as a whole. It's that a third of us learned nothing while another third learned exactly all the wrong and scary things. I'm reminded of a passage in Luke about stones crying out. This was bantered about a lot in Reagan's 80s as a warning that communists were going to mass exterminate the Christians a la the hilarious exploitation flick, If Footmen Tire You, What Will Horses Do? It's a cosplay apocalypse that evangelicalism had us prepare for every day, but when the shit actually hits the fan, they don't see the truth or the irony because it's for the unclean other. Holy cow! Oh, Elliot, Elliot, Elliot. You're amazing, Elliot.
Is there a website or...
No, this is seriously punk, okay? I mean, this is stapled. This is printed and stapled together, and I got to put it somewhere precious.
This is old 60s style.
This is some beautiful. This is subversion. Content. Yeah, this is subversion.
From the way you describe it.
If you ever run into this young man, tell him you still got a copy of the last thing he gave you. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Scott.
This reminds me of the old...
Oh, let Scott jump in.
It reminds me of like 4 8.5 by 11 pages folded over to give you, what, 16 pages?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it sounds like. Is it printed or handwritten?
No, it's printed. It's printed in grayscale.
And there's no, like, website or contact?
No. There it is. You can find me at porchbeerszine.card2rs.co. I've got to send this young man a message.
Pardon me. Oh, yeah. That type of engagement needs encouraging.
I mean, you need to let him know that
it's going out all over the world.
He gets it. Check this paragraph. But you can do something, especially you who are white, cis, straight, and privileged. Even simply saying this isn't normal and it wasn't always like this can do wonders. Throwing rocks and mooning their gods can too, and you can take that as metaphorical as you want. If you ever daydreamed about how you'd take down the Capitol or the Empire or the White Witch, or I refuse to reference the Joseph Campbell for Dummies book written by a TERF, you're about 10 minutes late to the party, but there's still some hors d'oeuvres left. Holy shit!
Oh my God!
I think...
Oh my God!
Elliot needs to be on the show as a guest one day.
I think you're right. I was just thinking exactly that thing. I got to get Elliot on the show.
No doubt.
This is the thing I wondered if we'd ever see again. And maybe I've just been out of the loop or something. But if you're making noise and bringing it in the face of
and he's bringing it. Holy crap, he's bringing it.
Oh man, it's like going back 50 years to the way it was in the 60s. And I know I'm stuck there, according to some, but this is the thing I've been hoping that would happen in the face of this madness, this ongoing madness, that finally people of that generation would recognize it and say, enough, fuck this shit, you know? God damn, this reassures me and makes me a happy camper.
Doesn't it just?
I mean, it because that's the type of energy that needs to be widespread. It needs the conversation. This is a conversation when it comes all right down to it. Not what we're doing now, which it is a conversation. But it's heartening to know that where you are, Robin, in your state, that...
idea of they will run me out of here kicking and screaming. Yeah.
Well, good God, that's... That's exciting. Hope is a dangerous thing, I think they said in Shawshank Redemption. But sometimes hope is there to move you forward. And if Elliot is just the tip of the old iceberg, then I'm a happy camper.
I mean, this young man is thinking about the future. I don't want to just read the whole thing. I'll give the website again, but... If you're reading this, you're probably in a group of people that doesn't have a bright outlook on the future right now. Don't let these assholes... Hold on, Dave. If you're reading this, you're probably in a group of people that doesn't have a bright outlook on the future right now. Don't let these assholes rob you of your joy. Be out there, be fierce, be proud, and be you. Some self-defense items and martial arts training couldn't make you worse for the wear, but don't let them erase our history and turn us into ghosts. Wow.
Oh, God bless it, boy.
And then looks into the future. Times like these make me wonder what my own legacy is going to be. I hope it was to inspire joy, even when I wasn't feeling it all the time throughout my life. Some of the best moments of my life were hearing that I inspired someone to come out or transition. Giving someone the gift of true joy makes the hard times worth it, at least some days. And if you were able to weave your way through my misfiring brain chemicals, pat yourself on the back. Yeah, I'm getting Elliot.
Get a hold of him.
I'm getting him on the show. And again,
that's going to be
Porch Beers Zine. porchbeerszine.carrd.co. Not com, dot co. Porch Beers Press.
Porchbeerspress.co.
No, dot card.
All right.
Yeah. Dot card. porchbeerspress.carrd.co. I am going to write him as soon as the program's over.
And then get some sleep, girl. You sound tired.
Oh, I'll be okay. But I wanted to share a couple other notes because we're coming up on time. Thank you, everybody who jumped in to meet the two challenges. Thank you so much. So we're down to 9. Tomorrow we'll be at 12. But we got a couple of days to come up with enough to pay the power bill, which is extraordinarily expensive, and I hate it. As to Jimmy Carter, Matt says he's a class act. He lived his life with such grace. Even in his acceptance of inevitable death, he has demonstrated that grace and opened the door for people to have a conversation about death and dying. something this country doesn't really talk that much about. His relationship with Rosalind is another example of how to move through the world with honor and respect along with your partner. His frankness regarding America being an oligarchy over the last few years is rare in a person of his stature. Just a class act all the way around. I hope his hospice care is optimal and he passes in the way he desires. Hear, hear, Matt. Hear, hear. And yeah, the oligarchy remark, I think, was 2015. And he didn't stutter, and he did mean it. A couple of things to mention.
I mean,
Theo writes, Elliot's discovered the fanzine. This youngster is working very much in the form of sci-fi fantasy fanzines, which could be discursive and brilliantly topical. I've long been tied into the community who created and encouraged the form, and I've written for friends zines. I'm so overjoyed that a bright youngin is using the form to address topical, urgent matters. I say yes. And then this on the way out, there have been reports earlier today, George lets me know, and reminds me, Kevers McCarthy, dirty little bastard, McCarthyism, remember we talked about referring to him as McCarthyism, I think we mean to make that stick. If y'all are paying attention over to MSNBC, you know where the royalty check goes. I'm just kidding. There's no royalty check. Kevers McCarthy has turned over thousands of hours of security video from January 6th to Fox News. And not just to Fox News generally, but specifically to testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson. I guess now they're going to find the real Antifa and all those white-faced Black Lives Matter outside agitator. I meant that to be singular. He was just everywhere.
Well, I have enough disrespect for them now, but I'd have even less disrespect for them if they were actually honest about their intention. If they're going to couch it in racist language, they ought to just come out as flat out racist and let the chips fall where they may. Frankly, they're going to have to drag me out of the blind, and they'd better bring friends. If they think I'm going to stop commenting or stop shining a light on them, and it's people like Elliot who keep me going on things like that. Kevin McCarthy is nothing but a clown, a well-paid mama's boy who just cannot abide someone telling him no. Well, America, I think it's about time that our representatives in the House bring up a motion at least once a week to remove him as Speaker.
Why not at this point?
Yeah. Huh?
Why not at this point?
Well, I'm saying we do it at least once a week. He's using the power of the office for nothing but base political bullshit. And if it only takes one member, I'm going to call Andre Carson's office and ask him to do it.
Why the hell not? Why not?
That ought to get the maggots all upset because, as you know, they don't believe that Mr. Carson and a couple of other members are actually members because they took their oath on a Quran owned by Thomas Jefferson. I am so proud of him because he was the first Democratic politician to call Mitt Whitnero out on his anti-Islamic bullshit. And that wasn't merely because he thought it was wrong. He was under attack. He's been a practicing Muslim for years. And he is one of the most decent human beings I've ever met. And his grandmother, when she was in the Congress, made sure that Rosa Parks was noted by putting her forward for the Congressional Gold Medal, which she received, because Julia Carson couldn't believe that she hadn't been honored by the Congress before then. So he comes from a very deep political family, and he'll be in Congress as long as he wants to be. He's one of those Congress people. But they should be calling out at least once a week for Kevin McCarthy's removal. And I believe the rules would still stay in place for the following speaker. So every time those bastards fuck up, Democrats, and if we can get a couple of disaffected Republicans, fine. But they want to play the chaos game? Let's play. We have more than enough talent on our side to do it. Hell, it's not going to be anything but them doing what they want to do, so let's put a limit on it.
I think there's an argument to be made. I think there's an argument to be made in favor of that, but right now I'm guessing that the way they want to play this is to be the normal grown-up party. We can disagree with it if we want to, but so far they're doing a pretty good job of sticking together and everybody voting as one and nobody crossing over, making them do everything by themselves and being stupid by themselves. I wish a certain member of the Democratic contingent in the West Virginia House of Delegates had been able to figure that out, but, well, you know, wish in one hand, right?
It's a good thing, though, that, you know, our side is unified in putting forth a rational, reality-based alternative.
Yes.
Because the more you do that, the more ridiculous it makes the other side look. And they don't need our help at looking ridiculous, but it's good to remind them.
No, they pretty much got that nailed down, but...
Oh, God,
but
yeah.
But the thing is, you know, the more normal the person you... Normal, sitting on a dryer. The more ordinary the person you stand next to the clown, the more clownish the clown looks.
Yeah. And it's sort of like, to sort of misquote or creatively quote Clarence the Angel from It's a Wonderful Life to George Bailey, every time a bell rings, a Republican looks the fool, you know? So
and every time a Republican looks like a fool, a Democrat is created.
I would like that. Well, listen, y'all, I got to go. We are past time. But it's been a delightful conversation all the way around. We had lots of more ends to get through to get us started on the day. And
I'm inspired. Well, this evening has been inspiring, Robin.
And as a certain faux Southern lady once said, tomorrow is another day.
Well, you know, she was really a British actress. So.
I know that. Yes.
Fiddle-dee-dee.
And then and that's the thing. Later on, she would also say, "I've always depended upon the kindness of strangers." Streetcar.
Yeah, that didn't work so well when I was a kid. They kept telling us to stay away from them.
Yeah, well, yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Y'all be good. Scott.
Bye. Good night, Dave. Good night, Robin. Good night, Horn People.
Take care. Bye. And so that's Moran Monday, and I told you there were going to be a lot of Morans. Thanks so much for joining in the program. If you are listening live, thanks to everybody who is helping us try to stay on the air. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hopefully we'll make it. Then we'll move on to the next crisis. Because they're all crises. Because that's, unfortunately, the model. One last time, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Please leave a comment. Tell your friends and neighbors. There's something awfully special going on here. It has been for a very long time. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much this evening. Thank you to the new folks we've seen kicking in. Thank you so very much. And thank you to old friends who have jumped back in. It means so very much. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve. And I didn't see if Roger made it in the chat room. I did see Steve pop in. Glad the well diggers are out of the yard now, Sparky. You gotta be happy. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Like and subscribe. See, this is what happens when you really get after me. I wear it out. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years. I'm not going to put it that way, Asa. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Get your flu shot. We're not out of flu season yet. And there's a nasty-ass storm that's going to, like, roar all the way across the country. It's already happening out west. Stay safe. Wipe down your surfaces. Help stop the spread of RSV, especially for our little ones. Wear your masks. Maggot's going to maggot. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer everywhere you go, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And you know, if a bleach blonde refugee from Planet Fitness comes towards you down the street saying, "We need a national divorce," ignore that toxic woman like the plague. Because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.